games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinkertoys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinkertoys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The focal point of popular debate for days now on the NSA getting domestic phone records from the phone companies is bogus, says Bell South and Verizon.
The claim is just wrong.
Verizon's Bob Veritone is not saying they would not ever do it. They might.
When asked for help, we will always make sure that any assistance is authorized by law and that our customers' privacy is safeguarded.
At Bell South, Jeff Batcher.
We did an extensive review, and we have determined that Bell South has no contract whatsoever with the NSA, and that we have not provided any customer calling records at all.
President Bush said today the government only listens to domestic calls with court approval, but in general.
We got accused of not connecting dots prior to September the 11th, and we're going to connect dots to protect the American people within the law.
A new video has been released, taken by a Pentagon security camera, that shows a streaking airliner as it hits the Pentagon. It's only a blur at an estimated 530 miles an hour. Because the camera isn't panning, it's a static video shot. It's the first officially released Pentagon video from 9/11 and may put to rest some of the conspiracy theories that claimed a missile made the unusually round hole in the building. Separate but equal fails the test, says the NAACP in its lawsuit against the way Omaha, Nebraska has divvied up its schools.
Maps made it pretty clear that the final result will be one majority white district, one majority black district, one majority Hispanic district, and to us, that's just plain old racial segregation.
The lawsuit seeks to upend the structure of the district. Nebraska State Senator Ernie Chambers is black, and he helped write the school district law.
My mantra is that I'm not interested in separation or integration, but quality education.
The Merrimack River in Massachusetts has receded a little bit, but it is still a big deal, making life miserable.
Get to work in an easy manner because the highways are closed. Food shopping for some people, getting food is difficult because two of them, the major places, are underwater.
Her name is Noreen Regal. She lives in Methuen, Massachusetts.
We have a term now. We just quack instead of saying hello. We just go quack, quack.
Nothing like a meeting of the Gators and the Bulldogs, especially in Jacksonville. The annual football game between Florida and Georgia has long been known as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Now, in this modern world of responsible drinking, the universities are asking the networks to drop the terminology because they say the schools will be trying to adjust the extracurricular parts of that rivalry. On Wall Street, the Dow was off nearly 9 points to close at almost 11,420. Today, the Nasdaq lost 9. Oil prices, $69.53 a barrel, up 12 pennies. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
I'd like a real estate website where I can look at all the listings, not just those of a single company.
I'll know the right house when I see it, but it's frustrating having to go from website to website. I'm wearing out my mouse.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. REMAX listings and our competitors' listings, too. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For example, the 10 million saved is 10 million earned dynamic. Or the our month end reports actually happen by the end of the month dynamic. Or the yes, I can forecast the revenue, no, I don't own a crystal ball dynamic. How do you manage these dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Katrina may have filled New Orleans and the region with water, but it drained it of something else. Talent and brains. WWL reporter Dave Cohen.
More than 100 high school seniors got about $500,000 in scholarships, and one after another, speakers impressed upon them they need to come back and help rebuild the region after their education. Joseph Murphy's headed for BYU and says coming back will be a tough decision.
Things are up in the air. I really don't know.
But Lanny Bergeron says it's a no-brainer. After biomed engineering at Louisiana Tech, she'll return.
Because it's home. Down here is home. Gotta come back.
She adds, though, that's if she can find a job here. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Jerry Kramer, legendary right guard of the Green Bay Packers, has his Super Bowl ring back. The ring from Super Bowl I disappeared 25 years ago. Then it showed up last month at an online auction. Kramer heard about it, called the auctioneer. They pulled it and gave it back. Kramer says he'll sell his replica replacement for the Needy Players Fund. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health, more specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com.
Peter B. Collins.
It's time for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, ably produced by Matt C. Renner. We got a great lineup today, lots to talk about, and you're invited to participate. In our first hour, we're going to talk with Antonia Juhas, the author of The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. It's a powerful book. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk to an attorney who is suing the phone companies over the NSA program that allowed them to cull through our telephone records. Carl J. Mayer of the Mayer Law Group joins us at the top of next hour. And we continue to seek the truth about what really happened on 9/11/01. You may have heard in the network news just a few minutes ago that some video released shows an airliner going into the Pentagon. We've reviewed the footage, and it doesn't show that at all. We're going to talk with Carol Bruyer coming up in our second hour today. She's a 9/11 truth seeker. She is a candidate for Congress on the single issue of trying to fight for the truth about 9/11. She's running in a seat on the San Francisco Peninsula against incumbent Anna Eshoo, a Democrat. And she's also going to tell us about a conference coming up in early June in Chicago, also aimed at ferreting out the truth about 9/11. In our third hour, we kick it off with our weekly report about ethics in Washington. The report should be about 4 hours long, but we keep Melanie Sloan limited to about 10. And we're going to talk about Congressman Jerry Lewis, not the comedian, but the head of the Appropriations Committee in the House, a Republican, now under investigation. Also, James Sensenbrenner, head of the House Judiciary Committee, had a complaint filed. The Duke Cunningham story continues to widen. And there is a new complaint against former staffers of Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania. We'll talk about all that. Plus, Eric Tang of California Clean Money is going to join us briefly in the 5 o'clock hour to urge a little activism, because tomorrow there's a big vote in Sacramento on the clean money bill. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. As I mentioned, you're invited to participate. Call us at any point when curiosity or the need to express an opinion strikes you. 831-899-5792 is our number along the Central Coast, or you can call me from anywhere in the continental U.S. toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Also, my website's available to you, peterbcollins.com. That's where you can get more information on your humble host, and you can also drop me an email or listen to archived programs or catch our live web stream, which is 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time every Monday through Friday. That's peterbcollins.com. Antonia Juhas is a leading expert on international trade and finance policy. She got a master's in public policy from Georgetown University. She served as a congressional aide and as the project director of the International Forum on Globalization. Her new book is entitled The Bush Agenda, and appropriately, the S in Bush is the American dollar sign. The subtitle, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. Antonia Juhas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks so much for having me. Good afternoon.
Nice to talk with you. And I want to focus in our first segment here on immigration policy and NAFTA.
You write with, I think, very strong analysis in the book about the impact of NAFTA and some of our problems with our neighbors, including Mexico. What was your reaction to the president's speech last night, Antonia?
Well, you know, I have very, very mixed reactions to the president's speech. I think that, well, rather than focus on the president's speech, I was incredibly moved by the amazing mass protests in favor of immigrant rights that swept over the United States over the past weeks, and just the vocal and very present call and an empowering call of people across the United States standing up to make their voices heard and to make the Bush administration and our elected officials do the right thing. And the fact that the president did then respond from the Oval Office shows that he was forced, you know, to actually respond to public opinion, which is very, which should empower all of us and make all of us feel that our voices actually do matter, because I think that they do. The president then took what he has been doing from the beginning, which is a very middle of the road stance on immigration, which is winning him many enemies on both sides of the debate, but which isn't really addressing the root of the problem. And this will get to more what I actually talk about in the book, which is the Bush, President Bush's free trade policies and the way that he has uniquely enforced very standard free trade policies, but at the barrel of a gun, particularly in Iraq and in the Middle East. I do talk quite a bit about the background of free trade policy and looking at the North American Free Trade Agreement between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And this agreement has very powerful impacts on the current immigration debate and will continue to have very powerful impacts in the United States. Three key elements of the North American Free Trade Agreement that are relevant right now.
Can I stop you for a second? Because I want to hear that, but I want to focus for a minute on Bush and looking at it through the lens of your book, because I watched the speech, listened to it actually, and what I came away with was that he was trying to mollify the Tom Tancredos, the extreme, seal the border, put 100,000 troops there, the real extreme right of his party. And at the same time, he was trying to keep the global corporate employers happy.
Right.
And maintain the cheap labor pool that is so important for them and that they wish to continue to exploit. And what struck me was his third point in the speech, where he gave lip service to holding employers accountable and immediately talked about just how tough it is for employers because, you know, they can't be sure those documents are real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is such a crock.
Mm-hmm.
They can look at their payroll records and identify the people who earn less than the minimum wage and make a pretty good guess that those people are undocumented, can't
sure.
they?
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, this is... President Bush has had a pretty steady record on immigration his entire career, and that is ensure that the flow of workers is as open, in essence, as the flow of companies, so that companies always have a pool of workers, cheap workers, available to them. And that's always been his stance. And that definitely puts him at odds with those on the far right who want to seal the borders. But it puts him right in the lap of multinational corporations, as you suggest, who need that cheap labor and need
That's what I came away from. My takeaway from the speech was that he is trying to straddle the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to acknowledge those who marched, who you referred to a few minutes ago. And he does, offer up a strange but honest statement from him that, hey, we're not going to deport 11 or 12 million people.
Mm-hmm.
That part, I think, you know, you can say, well, that's nice and moderate, and it's the compassionate conservative coming out. But the bottom line of the speech was he is trying to throw troops at the border for a continuous photo op so that he can maintain this pool of cheap labor in this country for his corporate benefactors.
Sure. And, you know, President Bush's interests have always aligned and always sought to advance the interests of key U.S. multinationals, not all of them, just some of them, And this is yet another example of that. And it's clearly an argument that I make is at the heart of the Bush agenda. I think explaining these provisions in NAFTA will help make that clear.
Great. Go right ahead. We have about 2 minutes till the next break.
Then probably not. We can talk about it after the break. Basically, the Bush administration has never been quiet about what its agenda is. That is, expanding the rights of U.S. multinational corporations at the barrel of a gun and doing whatever is needed to create as favorable a work environment for those companies wherever that is as possible. And that means as few government regulations as possible, as few worker protections as possible, as few environmental protections as possible, and as few requirements placed on those companies as possible. And the only thing that really makes this administration unique in following those set of principles is how intimately intertwined this administration is with the oil and gas and infrastructure industry, and the willingness of this administration to use the overt and unilateral use of the U.S. military to achieve that end.
Yeah. We're talking with Antonia Juhas. Her last name is spelled J-U-H-A-S-Z. The new book is called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. She's with us this entire hour, and I promise, Antonia, when we return, that I'll give you enough time to explain the issues of NAFTA and how they impact our current immigration situation. Also want to talk about Iraq and also the big picture of what you view as the Bush administration's true agenda. Many of us are still trying to figure out, particularly in Iraq, what it is. We'll talk more as we continue. Your calls and comments are welcome. Join us on the phone right now at 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Puts you right through to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years' experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue our conversation with economist and author Antonia Juhas. Her book is called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. And we go to your phone calls here shortly, 831-899-5792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540. But without further ado, Antonia, I wanted to give you a chance to give us a thoughtful answer to the question I raised about the impact of NAFTA on America's immigration issues, particularly but not exclusively with Mexico.
Absolutely. And first of all, the reason for going into it is because the Bush administration has announced, you know, announced just 9 days after September 11th, in fact, that it would be countering terror with trade, and that free trade policy would be the mechanism that we would use to defeat the terrorists and to spread freedom around the world. And to understand what those free trade policies really mean to people on the ground is very informative as to whether it is something that we should feel comfortable in, that free trade is going to be has in fact been the mechanism that the administration has tried to use as part of the war on terror. And the North American Free Trade Agreement had three key provisions for Mexico which are relevant to this discussion. The first was, in order to sign the North American Free Trade Agreement, Mexico actually had to eliminate one of the key victories of the Mexican Revolution, the Ejidos Program, which guaranteed land rights to indigenous people from Mexico. That had to be eliminated. Then Mexico had to eliminate barriers to trade for most goods coming from the United States, and most importantly, U.S. corn, which unfortunately in the United States is almost solely produced by big agribusiness companies, not family farmers,
right,
and is heavily subsidized by the U.S. government. So that corn is very cheap, and it flooded into the Mexican market, undercutting the price of Mexican corn, which was the main crop in Mexico, produced by Mexican small family farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They were then outpriced and unable to continue to farm, losing their livelihood.
And just a quick note, Antonia, you cite in the book that 60% of all Mexican farming is related to corn.
Yes, that's right.
So it's a major segment of the agricultural economy there.
Yeah, or was.
Okay.
So then Mexican farmers were unable to support themselves on their farms. They then were no longer given guaranteed rights to their land, so they were homeless, landless, and unemployed. And then the best opportunities that arose for them were the maquiladora factories, the U.S. factories built on the border with Mexico,
right,
which produced goods for U.S. manufacturers with very, very limited environmental protections, worker protections. In fact, there were rampant stories of horrific worker abuse in Mexico.
Right.
Those became the only jobs, however, available, and many Mexicans went into the maquiladoras. Well, free trade agreements allow corporations to be fickle and not have to make any commitments to any country that they operate in. So they do not have to make any financial commitments or time commitments or commitments to workers. So when China then joined the WTO, China became the next hot place to produce cheaply and without provisions for workers. And all those maquiladora factories packed up and moved on to China, leaving the Mexicans without even those jobs. Therefore, it is not surprising that many, many, many people from Mexico chose to come to the United States to try and find the opportunities to provide for their families. Well, now the next hot place to produce is Jordan, because the Bush administration has recently signed a free trade agreement with Jordan, which has now created some of the worst sweatshop labor conditions that I have read about anywhere. And believe me, I've read about some pretty bad conditions. And these are now companies that are producing for Walmart, Target, JCPenney, Jones New York. They're now producing in Jordan, and to the same effect, as I say, to the workers there. And this, you know, constant movement of U.S. companies taking advantage and abusing workers all around the world, of course, reverberates back to us in the United States, not just in the form of immigration, but also opposition to the United States and its policies.
Understood. And in this race to the bottom, Antonia, in just simple terms, how do we rank the low wages? If employers left the maquiladoras, and we know some of that work went to China, some of it went to Saipan, to Tom DeLay's sweatshops there in the North Mariana Islands with the support of Jack Abramoff.
Mm.
And Jordan is even cheaper than sweatshops?
It's not necessarily a question of cheaper. It's how friendly is the government, meaning how little regulation is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also good to have a diversity of locations where companies are producing, because they pit the companies against each other. I actually have a very good quote in the book from one of the head CEOs of Walmart saying, you know, whenever we have a product to produce, we just go to all our different companies around the world and say, you know, how cheap can you do it? And whoever can do it the cheapest is who gets it.
Yeah.
So the more cheap places they have to produce, the better. But also, as, you know, organizations, workers in those countries start to organize, people in the United States, people around the world start to pay attention to what's happening in these factories, the factories then get more regulatory attention, and then it becomes better for the companies to move on to the next place where there is less regulatory attention. Mm-hmm. So it's somewhat a sign of the success of social movements across Mexico and the region that have really done tremendous work on exposing what conditions were like in the maquiladoras, that U.S. companies moved once that spotlight got shined on them. But it's also, of course, an exposure to the just horrific impact of these type of free trade policies that the companies can just move along.
A quick quote from the book, The Bush Agenda. After the implementation of NAFTA, Walmart became the largest retailer in all three NAFTA countries. NAFTA made this possible in several ways. For example, NAFTA investment rules eliminated many of the requirements on how and where Walmart could operate in Mexico. The elimination of tariffs made the shipment of products in and out of Mexico tax-free. NAFTA also stopped the Mexican government from applying requirements that would force Walmart to partner with a local business, sell products made by Mexican-owned companies, or invest a certain amount of its profits locally. After visiting Mexico in 2003, Tim Weiner of the New York Times wrote, "Walmart's power is changing Mexico in the same way it changed the economic landscape of the United States, and with the same formula, cut prices relentlessly, pump up productivity, pay low wages, ban unions, give suppliers the tightest possible profit margins, and sell everything under the sun for less than the guy next door." We'll continue after a break here with Antonia Juhas. The book is The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. Your calls and comments coming up in the next segment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, Sheila Gale here from the number one reality radio show at KRXA. Join me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our lady Lana, and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale, Reality Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ball game. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Tom Hartman. When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Healthcare, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Don't give up the fight.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. You want to sue your phone company for sharing your records with the NSA? Stay tuned. Next hour, attorney Carl J. Mayer will join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
There is just one moon and one golden sun, and the smile means friendship to everyone. Though the mountains divide and the oceans are wide, it's a small world after all.
And it's not Walt Disney's small world, it's George W. Bush's small world. Where you do business with your cronies, and your cronies do business with you. We're talking with writer Antonia Juhas. Her powerful new book, The Bush Agenda, and as I mentioned, the S in Bush is the dollar sign, subtitled Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. Your calls and comments are welcome here. She's with us until the top of this next hour. 888-579-2540 is the toll-free line. That's 888-579-2540. Dave joins us from Humboldt. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Peter and Tony, another excellent guest as always, Peter.
You can blame Matt Renner for that.
Well, I will, and I'm viewing the little film you sent me of the 9/11. I'd love to be a part of that too. But
well, you can call in during that segment too, Dave. I'll give you a special.
Oh my,
pass.
Jesus! I know people in high places. Well, you know, you had posed the question of why are we in Iraq? What's keeping us there? And it's obvious to me that everything about this administration is shifting as much wealth as possible, outrageous greed, to this very top little Carlyle group that's benefiting. All the Treasury, billions of dollars going to Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown & Root, that's ending up in their pockets. We've got billionaire oil tycoons who've stolen our White House.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very profitable being in Iraq. So,
well, I think this is a great opening. If you want to ask a question, go right ahead, Dave. But I was just going to launch into Iraq and Halliburton, or if you like to call her Halliburton, that's fine, too. Is there anything you wanted to add to this part, or should we just go into it?
Well, I think the dollar sign in the S is says this guest is on to what's driving them.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, and maybe we'll talk to you a little bit later on. Antonia, in the credits of your book, you gave thanks to Naomi Klein.
Mm-hmm.
And she has impressed me as somebody who really understands why the Bush administration went into Iraq, and in particular her analysis of Bremer's occupation and the edicts, the decrees that he issued that essentially made Iraq an open territory for multinational exploitation. Take a couple of minutes here, if you would. And the key question is, why did Bush go into Iraq? Obviously, there weren't any WMD, and there was no connection with 9/11. Those were phony stories that we were told. And yesterday, just about this time, we were talking with Michael Gordon from the New York Times. He's a military guy and wrote the powerful book Cobra 2. But he couldn't get there. He's hung up on military and political analyses and really didn't seem to grasp the economic angle.
Yeah, so what I chronicle in the book is essentially the members of the Bush administration going back about 30 years and their statements on Iraq and the importance of U.S. increased U.S. control of the Middle East. And, of course, the key focus for all of the members of the administration has been oil and the power of oil. The power of the person who controls oil in the Middle East, and also the wealth associated, of course, with controlling that oil. And one of the things that I point out is that it's an absolute fallacy that there was no post invasion plan for Iraq. There was a very clear plan, and it was written by a company called Bearing Point Inc., which is based in Virginia, which received a $250 million contract 2 months prior to the invasion of Iraq for completely rewriting the economic infrastructure of Iraq. One of the things that plan focuses on is the oil infrastructure. And to take a quick step back, just 10 days after the Bush administration was put into office in 2000, Cheney organized the Cheney Energy Task Force. Its members included Exxon, Chevron, Bechtel, Halliburton, all the key corporate players.
Don't forget Kenny Boy.
And don't forget Kenny Lay, that's right, and Enron. One of the findings of the Cheney Energy Task Force was a document entitled Foreign Suitors to Iraqi Oil that listed some 30 foreign companies, none of them American, that had contracts with Saddam Hussein for Iraq's oil. However, because of the sanctions being in place, none of those contracts could take effect. However, the members of the Energy Task Force knew that the writing was really on the wall. Global public opinion had turned aggressively against the sanctions because of their horrific impact on the people of Iraq,
right,
and that the sanctions were going to be removed. And if the sanctions were removed, then all those other oil companies would receive all that Iraqi oil and not the U.S. So we invaded. We set up this economic plan for the restructuring of Iraq's economy, and then I detail in great length how that economic structure was then put into place in Iraq by Paul Bremer, the head of the U.S. occupation government of Iraq for 14 months.
Mm-hmm. Bremer implemented exactly 100 orders, almost all of which remain in place today, locked in by the new Constitution of Iraq, which, as you say, opened the door for U.S. corporate access to Iraq, allowing for 100% foreign ownership of Iraqi businesses, making it impossible for Iraqis to give Iraqi companies or workers preference in the reconstruction, which meant that 150 U.S. companies received some $50 billion in reconstruction or in for work in Iraq. The Bremer orders granted U.S. contractors full immunity from Iraqi law,
right,
allowed that all of their profits could be sent back to the United States, none of it had to be reinvested in Iraq, and allowed for the privatization of the of every component of the Iraqi public sector.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly, I would argue, is that the orders laid the groundwork for the big prize, which is what I argue is the bottom line for when U.S. troops will be removed from Iraq, if the Bush administration has anything to say about it. And this is a new oil law, which was drafted by the U.S. State Department. A member of the State Department working group that worked on the bill, his name is Barra Alum, and he was one of the first oil ministers put in place by Paul Bremer after the formal occupation ended. One of the very first things that Barra Alum did was cancel all of those pre-existing oil contracts between mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein and the other companies. Now the new oil law will open all of Iraq's undeveloped oil fields. So Iraq has 80 known oil fields, 17 are developed. All
right.
The rest would be open to foreign, private, corporate investment
mm-hmm.
on terms highly favorable to the foreign companies. And this law is set to be implemented when the Iraqi government finally takes final shape. The contracts would then be signed, but then the companies need security to get to work. And what better security force than 150,000 American troops? So I believe that it's the oil timeline that's keeping us in Iraq from a Bush perspective, unless we have something to do about that.
And, Antonia, I thank you for going into the detail you have in the book about the specific decrees or orders
mm-hmm.
that were signed by Bremer when he was essentially the viceroy running Iraq.
Mm.
And we don't have time to go into them in detail, but I do want to recommend the book to people, if only for this reason, because I've never seen this much detail on those orders anywhere else. Is there any one that you'd like to single out that is just the doozy or the cornerstone of the Bremer plan?
Well, and just a funny story to go with what you just said. In fact, my book definitely is the most detailed place where the orders are discussed. And I discovered that an earlier treatment that I did of the Bremer orders is listed on the website of a website that's trying to attract foreign businesses to Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
And then they use my analysis of the Bremer orders for why Iraq is a good investment location for American businesses.
you must love that.
Yeah, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the three that I cited are the ones that I think are the most important. That's Bremer Order number 17, granting full immunity to U.S. contractors from Iraqi law.
Mm-hmm.
That's critical for us in the United States to be aware of, because it means that the onus is even more on us to hold our companies accountable for their
mm-hmm.
failure in Iraq, because the Iraqis cannot do so. Also, the 100% foreign ownership of Iraqi businesses.
And that's number 39.
That's actually not 30. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. It is. That includes Iraq's banking sector, which is order number 40,
mm-hmm.
which has now been completely open to foreign banks. And that's fairly unprecedented to have an entire banking sector open to foreign ownership. And J.P. Morgan Chase, which was also heavily embroiled in the Enron scandal or Enron crimes, it was the first U.S. bank through the door in Iraq. And the rest of order number 39 is critically important. That allowed for the privatization of Iraq's economy, allowed for the profits to be sent back, and allowed and made it impossible for Iraqis to give Iraqi companies preference.
And there are a couple of other elements here. I have the luxury of looking right here at the book.
Sure.
unrestricted tax-free remittance of all profits and other funds, 40-year ownership licenses, the right to take legal disputes out of Iraq's courts and into international tribunals. More than any other order, it fully embodies the Bush agenda in Iraq, the creation of a U.S. corporate haven that will act as a model and jumping-off point for the rest of the region. This is so powerful, and I'm not a hyperbolist here, Antonia, but I just have to say that to me this is must reading for every American who keeps asking, "What the hell are we doing in Iraq?"
Thank you.
We'll pick up there as we continue in just a moment, and I want to talk about how some Bush administration officials have crossed over from the Pentagon side to the economic war side. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Antonio Juhas, J-U-H-A-S-Z is her last name spelling. The book is called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. We'll pick up there as we continue. And your calls and comments are welcome. The toll-free line, 888-579-2540. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, Carl J. Mayer is an attorney who's ready to represent you and me in a lawsuit against the phone companies that shared our calling records with the NSA. And the plot stinkins, because now phone companies are saying, well, we didn't do that. And Tony Snow is, well, he's wrapped up with a tar baby. We'll tell you about that, too. We continue our conversation with Antonio Yuhas, the author of this powerful new book called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
And Antonio, as I mentioned, your coverage of the CPA, the Bremer initiatives and edicts in Iraq is unparalleled in this book. The other thing that was an aha moment for me was you explained something that previously had only puzzled me, which is why the hell would Paul Wolfowitz leave the Pentagon, where he was a right-hand man to Donald Rumsfeld, and go over to the World Bank?
Mm-hmm.
And your book explains, so please explain.
Well, the World Bank is somewhat misunderstood in the United States, I think because it works most directly in developing countries, so it's seen as somehow not a very influential institution. However, it's an incredibly influential institution if you happen to live in one of those developing countries and have been forced to abide by the rules of the World Bank and its brother organization, the International Monetary Fund, for decades. And the World Bank is an opportunity for Paul Wolfowitz to continue to expand the Bush economic agenda through the power and the influence that the World Bank has. Essentially, that influence is guided by the billions of dollars that countries all around the world owe the bank and therefore have to succumb to the bank's policies. And Wolfowitz, at the helm of the World Bank, is expanding oil company access to additional regions,
mm-hmm.
Opening up where the World Bank previously focused on forcing countries to do more oil sector exploration, the bank is now forcing countries to essentially allow private companies to do that exploration and U.S. companies to boot.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, the World Bank under Wolfowitz is focusing on something that it's calling anti-corruption work, but what it's really meaning is essentially looking at countries around the world and saying only those countries that will abide by the Bush administration's economic agenda will receive further loans from the World Bank, or what most countries really need right now, debt forgiveness from
mm-hmm.
the bank. And so, you know, it's certainly not a powerless position, to say the least, that Wolfowitz now finds himself at over at the World Bank.
And I've been thumbing through the book here. I have to tell you, I really hammered your book, at least this copy of it. And I have a bunch of pages bent back, but I can't find the one with the quote from Rumsfeld, where he tied together military and economic issues. Can you surf that up, or an approximation?
The Clausewitz section?
Oh, I found it.
You found it?
Yes.
Okay.
In a 2002 article, I bent back enough pages, I finally stumbled on it. In a 2002 article in Foreign Affairs, Rumsfeld quotes Clausewitz to explain how the Bush administration places economic policy on par with military operations as tools for war. Quote, "Wars in the 21st century will increasingly require all elements of national power, economic, diplomatic, financial, law enforcement, intelligence, and both overt and covert military operations." Clausewitz said, "War is the continuation of politics by other means. In this century, more of those means may not be military." And you say, with this quote, Rumsfeld defines a central tenet of the Bush agenda, economics as a weapon of war. With Clausewitz as a guide, economics should be considered a very serious weapon indeed.
Yeah, boy, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, I'm glad I found that. Now, I want to jump way to the back of your book because,
okay.
Antonio, you're not simply a critic, and your criticisms are quite on target, but you also offer a positive vision, an agenda for change, starting with ending the occupation and paying for the reconstruction in Iraq. What are some of the other key points that you think would put the U.S. on a healthier footing in these respects?
Well, I think we really have to focus on the war in Iraq, and it's not just because we are engaged in this morally reprehensible and deadly endeavor, but because of the hatred and hostility which the ongoing war and occupation engenders against the United States and all of the United States allies. And I lay out clear ways of doing that, which go beyond removing the troops, which I think is key and is something that even the troops now support. 70% of current soldiers fighting, U.S. soldiers fighting in Iraq right now, said that they think this war cannot go on more than a year at the most, that they really need to be home before then because things are just getting worse and worse. But that we need to end the economic invasion by canceling all of the U.S. contracts, turning all of that money over to Iraq businesses and Iraq workers, and ensuring that all of the, particularly the contracts for the, what I call the economic transformers, are canceled. Those are the mm-hmm. Bearing Points and companies like that, which are receiving millions and millions of dollars just to lock in the Bush agenda in Iraq.
And you cite a contract here I didn't know about. Creative Associates International has a $273 million contract to rewrite Iraq's textbooks.
Right.
Probably to say nice things about W.
Yeah, no, that's just a really nasty provision. There was also several U.S. companies that received contracts for not just rebuilding Iraq's media, but for essentially taking over the quote-unquote free media in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Those are contracts that just, of course, need to be canceled. But then also I focus in the book on, you know, the rest of that title, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. The rest of the economies are the economies of the Middle East, which have now become the target of the president's Middle East Free Trade Area. The good news there is that there is a tremendous anti-corporate globalization movement, which simply, I think, in the United States needs to be made aware of the U.S. Middle East Free Trade Area, but also needs to share contacts and information and links with people across the Middle East, just like we have done in Central America, South America, Asia, you name it, Africa. Those links really have not been made successfully in the Middle East, and we need to do that so that all of the alternatives to economic globalization, which I also outline in the book, all of the tools that we have to rein in corporate power and that we are using to rein in corporate power can be implemented both here and in the Middle East. And, you know, as you say, I'm not only a policy analyst and an author, but I'm an activist, and I think that we are being successful. There's a reason why 70% of the American public opposes this president and this war, and there's a reason why there is no groundswell in the United States for war against Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of the organizing, the education, and the activism that's already taking place in the United States.
Let me jump in. Andy's on the line from Monterey. Andy,
okay.
A comment or a question? Join us.
Hi, guys. I had a question for Antonio. Recently we've pretty much figured out that the U.S. has spent up all its sympathy throughout the world, and I realize your book was written before all this started coming up, but all these big nations, you know, China and Russia, the heavy hitters, what do they think about us just bullying anybody we want around? Are they ever going to step up and do anything? Or I mean, I realize they're all pretty much set economically with what they need, but this I don't think any nation would stand for this.
Well, Andy, you make a good point. The U.S. acts as if we could bomb many sites in Iran and that nothing would happen to us, either from the Iranians or from their allies like China and Russia. Antonia?
Well, I think there's other ways of quote-unquote fighting back than with military retaliation, and we're definitely feeling the effects of becoming more and more of a, you know, economic adversary with China than an ally. And that's in the fight to gobble up the rest of the world's remaining oil. And I think that that's going to pit us more and more on the potential of, you know, hopefully not, but military engagement with other countries around the world. Instead of working as allies over the remaining resources in the world and how to use them more wisely, we are working as adversaries, and we are fighting wars to gain control over the last tidbits of this important resource.
Got to stop you there, Antonio. We're out of time. Andy, thank you for the call. And Antonio, thank you for joining us for this full hour. The book, The Bush Agenda, is must reading, subtitled Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. It's out in hardcover, and it's from Regan Books at HarperCollins. Thanks for joining us, Antonio. We'll talk again.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Coming up next, let's sue the phone companies for sharing our records with the government, right here on The Peter B. Show.
Where go?
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Reassurance from the president.
We do not listen to domestic phone calls without court approval.
Historic floods in New England.
This is just unbelievable.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The government might not always obtain a warrant before it listens in on phone conversations between someone in this country and a suspected Al-Qaeda operative abroad, but President Bush insisted today that stricter rules apply to purely domestic calls.
What I've told the American people is we'll protect them against an Al-Qaeda attack, and we'll do so within the law.
The president still refuses to confirm or deny the existence of a massive database of phone call records, and major phone companies are now distancing themselves from last week's report in USA Today. AT&T says it only assists the government to the extent allowed by law. Bell South spokesman Jeff Batcher says the National Security Agency never asked for anything.
Bell South has no contract whatsoever with the NSA, and that we have not provided any customer calling records at all.
And at Verizon, spokesman Bob Veritone takes a similar stand.
Verizon cannot and will not confirm or deny whether it has any relationship to the classified NSA program.
The lawsuit accusing AT&T of violating its customers' privacy rights was expanded today to include Bell South and Verizon. USA Today expresses confidence in its coverage and says it's been told by sources that Bell South and Verizon records are included in the government's database. Now this.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health, more specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good, fine. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com.
The rain let up today and floodwaters receded, but eastern New England is still inundated. In Methuen, Massachusetts, there were more evacuations. CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi is there.
After more than 16 inches of rain in 5 days, they're rescuing the rescuers. Juan Gonzalez is a firefighter, but today...
I'm just a victim of the weather. Mm-hmm. My house is on the water, and I'm just taking my family out of here.
And this is why. Gonzalez lives downriver from the Spigot Falls Dam, about 30 miles north of Boston. Part of it has already given way. And residents worry the rest could collapse and claim their homes.
Officials estimate damage in the tens of millions, and there's more rain in the forecast for the weekend. Deep divisions were apparent today as the Senate started a series of votes on immigration. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The first Senate vote on an amendment to the immigration bill shows just how difficult it's going to be to get any measure passed into law. The amendment would have stopped the guest worker program or the plan to legalize illegal immigrants until the borders are fully sealed. The Senate defeated it, but a big majority of Republican senators, including John Cornyn of Texas, voted for it.
Let's put the horse in front of the cart
not the cart in front of the horse.
President Bush insists any bill must be comprehensive, but still clearly has a selling job to do with Republicans in Congress. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Prodded by a Freedom of Information lawsuit, the Defense Department today released security camera video showing the hijacked American Airlines jet that crashed into the Pentagon on 9/11.
It's a stop-action video taken by security cameras outside the Pentagon. It's a grainy look at the crash that may look a bit familiar because some of the shots have been circulating on the Internet for a long time. There are flashes of what may be parts of the airplane, but the only way you can tell what really happened are by the flames shooting out of the building afterward and smoke funneling into the air.
CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein, 189 people died in that crash. The jury at the Enron trial in Houston spent the day listening to closing arguments from the defense. Jeffrey Skilling's lawyer said his client made mistakes, but mistakes are not crimes. Several members of Ken Lay's legal team insisted he's no criminal either. The prosecution's rebuttal comes tomorrow. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hear that? It's your heart saying, "Take care of me." Heart-healthy vitamins and aspirin are good for your heart. Now there's something better. New Cardio EA combines a healthy heart vitamin complex with doctor-recommended aspirin in a convenient one-a-day pill. Cardio EA with aspirin reduces your risk of heart attack and stroke and can lower your cholesterol and blood pressure. So, listen to your heart.
Take new Cardio EA with aspirin daily. Available in the vitamin section at stores everywhere.
You see a squirrel in the road. Your car stops. It gets dark. Your car lights the way. You order a coffee. Your car holds your cup. Your car takes care of you. So how do you take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care from die-hard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. And right now, we're having our biggest Goodyear tire sale ever. So bring your car to the experts at Sears Auto Centers. Your car would do the same for you. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 5/27/06.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you're a fan of Big Brother and big government, may I suggest you listen elsewhere? Go ahead, plug in your iPod. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk with Carol Brouillé. She is a 9/11 truth seeker, and she cares so much about this issue, she has filed papers to run for Congress on the San Francisco Peninsula. She's also one of the people who's helped put together a conference in early June in Chicago, again, seeking the truth about 9/11. And we have these incredible, astounding photos that have been released today from the right-wing organization Judicial Watch. They got them from the Pentagon. And the top-of-the-hour newscast that we just heard is telling us that this is evidence of the airplane that struck the Pentagon. And the photo shows no such thing. We'll talk with Carol about that coming up in about half an hour. But first, let's talk about the NSA, the collection of telephone call record data, and what the hell we can do about it. Attorney Carl J. Mayer of the Mayer Law Group, which is based in New York and New Jersey, joins us on the telephone this afternoon. Carl, it's Peter B. How are you?
Yes, how are you? Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, sir, and I hope to become a plaintiff in your class action suit.
Well, great. We'll sign you up.
Okay.
You know, we've been deluged from, we can't even keep up with the phone calls and the emails from around the country of people wanting to get in on this.
Well, now,
they're outraged.
Let's start with a baseline, because the focus of your suit is the USA Today report last week that the NSA did not use subpoenas or other legal methods, but actually engaged in contracts with the large telephone companies, and due to consolidation and the free market, there are just a few of them, and
right.
That under these contracts, these telephone companies supplied the NSA with tens of millions of telephone records from American citizens from their homes and businesses and cell phones. And now we're hearing a lot of pushback. Today, Verizon is denying that it ever received a request for customer phone records from the NSA. But then they go into that murky spook talk where they say they'll neither confirm nor deny what they just denied.
Right. In the Watergate era, this was called a non-denial denial.
Uh-huh. And right. Then we have Tony Snow, who is, in his maiden voyage as White House press secretary, and he got himself in hot water today because he ended up using a phrase that many people consider to be racist as he tried to dodge questions from Helen Thomas and others, and he tries to maintain that this administration will not comment on the allegations contained in the USA Today story, but he repeatedly referenced the story and said, go look at it again. So there's a kind of circular logic and circular denials that are being issued. What still stands here? What can we consider to be fact or a strong allegation, Carl?
Well, I tell you what, we want to go into court. Part of the reason we filed this lawsuit is to get at the truth through a process of discovery and issuing some subpoenas. For now, what we know is that Verizon, they've changed their statement three times. The first time, or actually two times. The first time Verizon came out and said, we do not grant unfettered access to customer records, mm-hmm. which was an admission. This was last Friday, May 12th. And Verizon said, we do not grant unfettered access to customer records, which is an admission that they grant access. Yeah. Now, I don't know what they mean by unfettered. Presumably, it means they provide the phone numbers and maybe some other information, but not the full records. For the purposes of the lawsuit, that doesn't matter. The Telecommunications Act is very clear. Verizon or any other phone company cannot provide customer records of any sort to the government without a court order or a warrant.
And that's federal statute, right?
That is federal statute. It's the Telecommunications Act of 1934.
Mm-hmm.
And it was codified and updated in 1986.
Well, also in 96.
And well, in 96 as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Verizon now says they didn't give over customer records. I think, but at the same time they're saying, well, but we're not commenting on to whether we may or may not be participating with the NSA program.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they're trying to do is draw a distinction between customer records and phone numbers.
All right. Let me just jump to Bell South now. In the New York Times today, a story buried deep in the paper,
mm-hmm.
Bell South said yesterday it had not shared customer calling records with the NSA, denying a report last week that it was among three major telephone companies to have done so. Bell South, the country's third largest local phone company, said that after an internal review, it had found no evidence that it had ever even been contacted by the agency. Now, first of all, when the NSA does business, I would imagine that they preserve some sort of deniability. After all, they wanted to maintain the secrecy of this program.
Right. It sounds like it's very parsed language. They could have been. They probably what occurred, and this is the exemption that they're the exception to the law that they're going to try to assert in court, undoubtedly, which is if there's an administrative subpoena, meaning if an agency of government asks the phone companies in writing for the records, the phone companies can deliver them. The NSA, however, has no power or authority to deliver an administrative subpoena. So it would have to be some other agency. So it's entirely possible that another agency gave over the records, and then the NSA, some other agency requested the records, and then the NSA sorted through them. But you know what? These are all fine points. These are all non-denial denials that the
right.
phone companies are trying to parse the language here. And try to avoid their culpability, which we think is vast. And I don't think it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why so many lawyers have contacted us from around the country, and so many plaintiffs have contacted us from around the country. They want to stop what the administration has not denied, that this program exists and that phone records are looked at. They are just denying that people are being listened to.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, There have been reports in the Washington Post and other places that actually conversations are listened to. So this administration does not have any credibility on this issue, because back in February they told us, hey, we're only listening to calls between the United States and foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing to do with calls within the United States. Well, that turned out not to be true.
Not one
of these companies has asked USA Today to retract its story.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me follow up on a point you made a moment ago, because
yep.
what I think I heard is that the NSA didn't really have the authority to either demand or contract for these records, because the charter of the NSA is that it's not supposed to be operating in the domestic arena in any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
Now, there may be proposals to modify that coming out of the realignment, the reconfiguration from the 9/11 Commission and the creation of the Negroponte job as National Intelligence Director. But according to the law, as I believe it stands today, the NSA has no jurisdiction to acquire those records.
That's correct. And this all stemmed out of abuses in the 1970s that were engaged in by the Nixon administration, in which the foreign intelligence apparatus was used to spy domestically on Americans, particularly citizens that Nixon considered to be enemies of the White House and the administration. So there were a number of reforms at the end of the 1970s, particularly the Foreign Intelligence Security Act, which requires a separation between domestic intelligence and foreign intelligence. And we think the wholesale turning over of records to the NSA certainly violates that act as well. It violates the 1978 Act. It violates the Telecommunications Act. And it, we believe, is patently unconstitutional. This is, these are violations of the Fourth Amendment, which prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures, and they're violations of the First Amendment, because by listening to people's, or by monitoring people's phone calls, forget whether you're listening to them, but just simply by monitoring them, it chills speech.
Sure.
I mean, who amongst us wants anyone to monitor calls to our clergy members, to our lawyers, to psychiatrists, to whomever it is? This is or even to political groups.
Mm-hmm.
This is chills first. This chills the First Amendment speech of Americans. And also, there's an ancient and venerable right to privacy in the Constitution that's been repeatedly upheld by the Supreme Court, and that right to privacy is also being violated. So we're going to make all these arguments to the court. We're going to fight as strong as we can and as long as we can to protect the civil liberties of citizens around the country. And the calls have been tremendous in terms of people wanting to get involved and helping.
Well, coming up after the break, I want to ask you how people can get in touch with you if they'd like to become a part of the suits that you are planning to file. Carl J. Mayer is our guest of the Mayer Law Group, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, join us. Your call may be traced, though, or at least the record may be held by the government. 888-579-2540 is our number. That's 888-579-2540, toll-free. And Carl mentioned Watergate. Let's just do a little reminiscing about the good old days, the Nixon era.
My fellow Americans, at our convention, Miami and L.A., a campaign across the USA. Let me make this perfectly clear. Let me stick it in your ear. They said, hey, babe, make a date with the Watergate. My fellow Americans, I said, hey, honey, make a date with the Watergate.
And you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Rio 5 SX, a fuel-efficient subcompact that's affordable for even a first-time car buyer. The Kia has a fuel-injected 1.6-liter four-cylinder engine and a four-speed automatic. It keeps right up with the big dogs. Like many Americans, I've been skeptical of the quality of Korean-made cars. But I have to tell you, they're getting better, and the 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty is very attractive. My Rio has all the accessories you'd expect in a low-end Nissan or Honda, like AC, power windows and locks, and a decent stereo. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Rio 5 gets 29 miles in the city, 38 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $16,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Every business has a black and white copier.
Yet color packs more punch, demands more attention, and projects a more powerful image.
The Sharp MX Series Multifunctional Products.
Advanced color document systems that not only copy, print, scan, and fax, but also feature high-quality printing in both color and black and white from the same MFP.
All for a surprisingly low total cost of ownership. And with Sharp's advanced image stabilization and microfine toner technology.
The MX series produces ultra-vivid documents and extraordinary color image quality, page after page.
Sharp's MX series.
Workgroup document systems designed to provide exceptional performance and productivity day after day. In-house, for less money.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic on the ride home. It's 4:20 now, and here's Amy Knight, Metro Traffic.
It's a busy Tuesday, Peter. In Ferndale, South 101 at Crazy Horse Canyon Road, an injury accident. Multiple cars involved, at least 4 to 5. You'll find emergency crews on scene, but expect delays on the southbound side of 101 through Ferndale. Like a separate injury accident on the northbound side as well. This could have been a rubbernecker effect. Northbound 101 just past Crazy Horse Canyon Road. A car and a big rig involved. They are blocking lanes there, so expect delays on the northbound side. So just major problems in both directions through Ferndale. And Hollister 156 at Buena Vista, an injury accident with a head-on collision. Crews on scene with that. And Empire Grade at Felton Empire Grade. You'll find fallen power cables in the roadway. This report brought to you by Sleep Train. Now you'll sleep free for a year on approved credit. There's no down payment, no monthly payment.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and Big Brother is watching. Coming up in a few minutes, Carol Brulé will join us, a 9/11 truth seeker, to invite you to a conference in Chicago in early June and to comment on the bogus video released today. And claims have been made that it shows a plane flying into the Pentagon, but you look at the picture and there's no such thing. We continue with attorney Carl J. Mayer of the Mayer Law Group, New York and New Jersey. He is planning to file suits against the phone companies that we believe shared telephone records with the National Security Agency. And as he said, we've heard a number of non-denial denials today. Carl, do you have any sense that the Poindexter program at the Pentagon, which was called Total Information Awareness, a massive data mining program that we think was shut down after it was exposed, did it morph, do you think, at least in part?
We don't know.
Into these contracts with the phone companies?
Right. Very good question. It's possible. There have been reportings in the specialized trade journals that NSA has contracts with over 500 software firms with all sorts of programs that can mine data, analyze data. And the question is how they're doing it and what they're using it on. Are they using those programs on the phone numbers? We don't know. This is, I think, something we hope to get into in the lawsuit. You did say earlier that we're going to file. We have filed.
Okay.
We have plaintiffs from over 18 states in the nation, and we're looking to add more. So if there are more folks who want to call us, please do.
Do you need any people who are customers of SBC, which is now AT&T?
Sure, we do, because we filed against all three, AT&T, Bell South, and Verizon.
All right.
So,
what about Comcast? Comcast hasn't been mentioned.
No, they haven't. And what's interesting is there's been this eerie silence from the other companies. You would think that, for example, a company like Skype, which does phone calls over the Internet, that they would immediately pipe up and say, no one listens in or we don't give any customer records. But they haven't. So I'm beginning to wonder exactly how broad this program is. Part of the intent of the lawsuit is to find out.
Yeah. Well, for many reasons, I regret being a Comcast customer. maybe this is a good time to make a change.
Yeah, maybe time to change.
Now, Carl, if we do want to participate, Matt, my producer, is volunteering to be a Verizon plaintiff. I also take service from Singular, and I hate them, too. So I'll be happy to step forward. I guess I have three different accounts.
Great. So do you have Verizon as well?
No, Matt has Verizon.
Matt
I've got
Verizon.
A Singular cell phone, and I've got Comcast and SBC landline.
Oh, you do
service.
Have SBC. All right. Well, that's AT&T. So we'd be honored to have you on board. We're going to try to get folks from across the country who have spoken out against this. So
how do we get a hold of you? I don't want to call you because then the NSA will know what I'm up to.
That's right. There was a report yesterday on ABC that the CIA was monitoring journalists' phone calls.
FBI, but you're correct. Yeah.
Right. So the way to get a hold of us is we have a website called www.newjerseyuntouchables.blogspot.com.
I'm writing New Jersey Untouchables.
Can
you just do like SopranoBrother.com or?
No, the Untouchables were the good guys,
NewJerseyUntouchables.blogspot.com,
right?
Okay.
And I can give you a phone number if you want.
Sure.
It's 609. 921-0253.
Okay. Great. And this is where we like to pause every day. I hope you don't mind, Carl. It's not a prayer moment. But we believe and we expect that our program is monitored on a daily basis. And we've named our monitor. We think his name is Benny. At least that's his nickname. And so, Benny, I know you're listening today. I hope you got those phone numbers and the Blogspot email address. Now,
you have an audience in Monterey, California.
Monterey, Eureka, yeah. Sacramento, and Phoenix.
Yeah, I'd love to give a shout out to Darby Worth, who's a Monterey citizen, and she's for many years been a real fighter for civil liberties in the area. So, love to say hi to Darby. Maybe she'll get in touch with us and join the lawsuit.
Okay.
And my mom lives down in Carmel, so I know the whole area there is very progressive.
Oh, great. Well, give our best to your mom, too. Okay, now, one of the things that came up, we were talking with David Lazarus, who's a business columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle last week.
Yes.
And he pointed out that if these stories are true, they violate the privacy policies that the phone companies commit to when we sign a contract with them. As an attorney, do those have any legal value?
Well, sure they do. There are all sorts of consumer fraud and contract laws in all 50 states, and that provides a basis for litigation and damages as well. Actually, I was on the Abrams report on MSNBC earlier, and that issue arose precisely in that my contract, and I've seen other contracts, do claim that there is a privacy, and I think these companies are violating their own privacy clauses. I think they're probably violating their own manuals. We may well get a hold of those and present those in court.
Mm-hmm.
It's across the board. It is deceptive, unconstitutional, and illegal, and we will keep fighting it.
And, Carl, clearly you are prepared for the government's response. They're going to cite the State Secrets Act. They have already sealed documents that have been presented to judges from Negroponte and General Hayden and others. So they're going to throw everything they have at this. You're going to have quite a battle on your hands.
Well, that's right, but I think this is a case of the government invoking secrecy once too often. This administration has invoked the executive privilege and executive secrecy more than any other in the history of the country, and often people are starting to see that it simply has no basis in law. And in fact, the defenses are starting to crack, which is why the chairman of Quest refused to turn over his company's records, because he felt that the laws weren't being complied with. Quest even went so far as to say to the government, listen, if you want these records, go to a FISA court or go to the attorney general and get us an opinion saying it's illegal, saying it's legal. And they never did.
Mm-hmm.
So if people like a CEO of a company are willing to stand up, I think there are going to be more folks around the country. I hope they'll join us. And we're going to keep fighting. And
well,
I
it's
think,
my
I
new counsel, Carl. It's a pleasure to meet you, and we will be in touch. NewJerseyUntouchables.blogspot.com. We've been talking with attorney Carl J. Mayer on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, emanating from your speakers. We originate on the left coast, and we're oozing eastward. Our program's now heard on 1240 Talk City, KSAC Sacramento, and on KPHX 1480 in Phoenix. Wherever you are, however you're listening, I'm glad you've joined us, and you're welcome to participate. You can call us toll-free, 888-579-2540. Coming up next hour, We're going to get our weekly report from Melanie Sloan for Citizens Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Congressman Jerry Lewis, Congressman James Sensenbrenner, and others are adding their names to the radical Republican wall of shame in Washington. But joining me right now is Carol Brouillé. She is a 9/11 truth seeker. She is a candidate for Congress on the San Francisco Peninsula, where she is challenging Democratic Congresswoman Anna Eshoo. And I believe her focus is solely on the issue of 9/11 and seeking the truth. And we're going to talk about a conference coming up in June that you could attend with some great presentations and comments. Carol, welcome to our program today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and in the woo-woo zone, I just want to acknowledge that you are one of the folks who helped founded the National Radio Project, and just earlier today I was talking with someone about your program Making Contact, and we're trying to find a way to put it on KRXA in Monterey.
Wonderful. Great.
So, it is a small world out there.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about your connection to the 9/11 Truth Movement. What brought you into this?
Well, we were planning on protesting in Washington, D.C. in September 2001 when the attacks occurred. And as you might recall, the whole nation was terrorized. And I think I was even more frightened by the media coverage than the actual event itself, because they started beating the drums for war. So most of the protests that were supposed to be surrounding the White House and the IMF and the World Bank, they were canceled, but a bunch of us went anyways to protest an impending war against Afghanistan. And in D.C., we also protested, well, we lobbied against the Patriot Act. But I learned that the war had nothing to do with fighting terrorism, but it had a lot to do with securing oil and geopolitics. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting emails criticizing 9/11, looking at things like the failure of the military to intercept that day,
right,
and the failure of the Secret Service to take Bush to a safe place, rather than leaving him like a sitting duck in a place publicly acknowledged close to an airport,
yeah,
and other anomalies. I think what really moved me the most was Michelle Chostodowsky's work looking at who is Osama bin Laden, who is Al-Qaeda, and why did the money man behind 9/11, the head of Pakistani intelligence who sent 100,000 to Mohammed Atta,
right,
meeting with top U.S. government officials from September 3rd till September 14th.
And the money was transferred through the Bank of Dubai.
I don't know the details on the wire transferred, but he was the one who ordered it. It was his cell phone that was traced to the money.
Yeah.
And when we raised these questions, we marched on our senators and our congresswoman demanding an investigation of 9/11 in January 2002, and immediately Bush and Cheney asked Daschle to limit the investigations, have it overseen by the intelligence oversight committee headed by Porter Goss and Bob Graham,
mm-hmm,
both of whom on the morning of September 11th were having breakfast with the head of Pakistani intelligence. And, you know, they failed to investigate themselves or Pakistan's role. And the whole parameters of the official investigation was to explain why the intelligence agencies failed that day and how to give them more money and strengthen them, which, you know, they fought tooth and nail for the 9/11 commission. They finally only agreed to do it headed by Henry Kissinger.
Right.
Which, you know, that's...
And Zelikow, Philip Zelikow,
right,
who was
right
on loan from Condi Rice's unit at the White House.
Right, right, exactly. So we know that the commission was, you know, directed by the guy who devised the preemptive war doctrine and was extremely slanted in favor of the White House, what they wanted to come out, and justifying the creation of Homeland Security and the bogus war on terrorism. So, you know, I've been at this for a long time, just trying to get the basic facts into the mainstream press and also organizing. I do a weekly demo in downtown Palo Alto ever since October 2001, and then I helped start the 9/11 Truth Alliance and the Northern California 9/11 Truth Alliance, and I organized the San Francisco International Inquiry into 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm helping with this big, very exciting conference that's coming up in Chicago, Revealing the Truth, Reclaiming the Future, which brings together activists from the UK, Canada, all over the United States. And it's actually a strategy and education conference, so it's not going to go into all the gory depths of every little detail of 9/11, which is, you know, enormous, but looking really at strengthening the movement and how we can break this into the American consciousness and mobilize people to not allow their government to get away with these acts of terrorism and to hold those who are most responsible accountable.
Yeah. We're talking with Carol Brouillé here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, join us, 831-899-5792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540. Now, Carol, two things that have, developed recently tend to try to lock in the mythology that has been delivered to the American people about many of the critical events on 9/11. Item one is the cable TV movie and then the general release cinematic film about Flight 93.
Right.
And I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to get around to it eventually. But today, resulting from the Freedom of Information Act and an effort made by a conservative group called Judicial Watch, some new photographs were released of the alleged attack on the Pentagon. And we carry the CBS News on the station in Monterey.
Mm-hmm.
ABC is on some of the other stations that our program airs on. And what I heard was astounding, because I've seen some of the photos, and my producer Matt has gone through them in great detail, and there is no new visual information there that proves the assertion that a 757 slammed into the side of the Pentagon without skipping off the ground in front of it, but clipping a number of light poles on the way in. And the documentary Loose Change 9/11 has an excellent animated sequence trying to depict what it would have looked like if this had actually occurred the way we have been told. Now, have you had a chance to look at these newly released photographs?
Yeah, I did. But, you know, I think it is, in some ways, a psyop. Remember the bin Laden video that came out with the fat bin Laden?
Right.
Who's left-handed wearing a ring saying, I did it, basically. But I think this is often what happens with the mainstream press, is they come out with a story and people only glance at the headlines and they don't look at the details. They just hear it sort of marginally. I think Bush said you can fool some of the people all the time, and those are the ones we want to concentrate on. So I think in some ways this, again, it's a way of trying to sell the official story. I think people who look at it, it might raise more questions, but also the tragedy about focusing, I think, on the Pentagon and the photographs is a lot of the photos have been altered and they're hard to decipher. And the really big aspects of the Pentagon rarely get discussed. The fact that Hani Hunter was a lousy pilot, he probably couldn't have made a 270-degree turn like they described
right.
to hit the Pentagon. The part of the Pentagon that was struck was the place that was undergoing renovation, that was practically empty, that was far from the top brass.
Well, it was directly opposite, the
right.
Extreme opposite
exactly.
of where Rumsfeld office
right,
is.
Right, right. And I heard, you know, they had some really sensitive documents, because the day before they had revealed that the Pentagon had lost $3.3 trillion. And I think that's the part of the Pentagon where they were investigating that or looking into that. But it was sort of extraordinary that the most restricted airspace, there's no planes launched to intercept the automatic aircraft defenses don't work. They have guns there. They have anti-aircraft. They should kick in automatically unless they get a signal saying it's a friendly plane. So there's all these other aspects that rarely even get mentioned. And the other thing is just that the whole 9/11 story, there are so many really compelling facts. I think some people are very short-sighted to focus exclusively on the Pentagon when they neglect things like Building Number 7 collapsing in the manner of a controlled demolition that wasn't even mentioned in the 9/11 report. Those other aspects.
Well, it is amazing, and the disconnect between, again, today's mainstream corporate media reports that this confirms.
Yeah.
These photographs confirm that it was a plane, and the crackpots can now go away.
Right.
it just is mind-boggling because these are otherwise intelligent reporters who should be highly skeptical of everything they're fed, they can really seek the truth.
Yeah, but if you look at, the history of mainstream corporate press, in the wake of JFK's assassination, those who challenged the Warren Commission report, they were written off as nuts, they were vilified, etc. And every time that hard evidence was presented, building substantially on the case that, hey, guess what, this really was a conspiracy, they always came out with a new, computer-animated magic bullet or something to discredit the information that came forward. So I'm not really surprised, because I remember we were protesting Tim Romer, who was one of the people who, created the 9/11 Commission in Washington, D.C.
And a congressman, a conservative Democrat.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we shook hands, and I thought, gee, I don't think they're going to shoot me dead on the streets. It's going to be a media war. We're going to do our shoestring budget films. We'll make our deception dollars. We'll get out our books and so forth, and we'll organize through the grassroots. And they will have all of Hollywood, all of the government, all of the media blasting the big lie on NBC, ABC, CBS, the movies,
and Fox,
and it's going to be a media war. Who's going to actually look at the Martin Luther King Jr. assassination?
Sure.
Now, I don't know if you heard about William Pepper winning his case for the King family on that, but he proved in court that it was a conspiracy. The King family won. And how many people know that in the United States? It was completely censored by the mainstream press. How many people know about the daughter of Kuwait who sold Congress on the first Gulf War by selling this fictitious story, a $10 million, $15 million publicity stunt devised by Hilla Knowlton about the mm-hmm. Iraqi soldiers taking the babies out of the incubator and leaving them on the cold floor to die?
Carol,
a total fabrication.
Carol, I have good news, bad news there. I actually took the bait, interviewed that woman who turned out to be the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador, but I declared to her at the time that I didn't believe her.
Oh, really?
And it was nice to be vindicated in the end. We got to take a break, and we'll continue in just a moment. Carol Bruyer is our guest. We'll give you more details about the conference coming up in Chicago in early June. And if you want more information, visit the website communitycurrency.org. That's communitycurrency.org. Your calls are welcome if you'd like to talk with Carol. 888-579-2540, toll free. Or on the Central Coast line, 831-899-5792. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Haha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in San City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now. Some problems out there. Here's Amy Knight.
Stalled in the lane, stalled car, North 101 at Cochran Road from Morgan Hill. Looks like wood debris still scattered in the lane, South 101 at San Martin. And if you're traveling through Prunedale, we still have problems, but better news, South 101 before Echo Valley Road, that injury accident with four cars has now been moved out of the left lane, but it's still very heavy traffic as you approach the scene. North 101 after Crazy Horse Canyon Road, that big rig and a car still block the lanes there. Empire Grade Road at Felton Empire Road, we still have fallen power cables in the lanes. TomTom is your portable everyday GPS solution.
Yes, it is. TomTom.com. I think we lost Amy there, but we'll get her back in about a half an hour here on KRXA 540. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues 10 minutes before the hour. Coming up next hour, lots of your phone calls in the free speed zone. We don't intentionally share our records with the NSA. Also next hour, Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Updates on Congressman Jerry Lewis, James Sensenbrenner, and others, including some staffers of Neanderthal Senator Rick Santorum. And also next hour, we'll get a quick update on the Clean Money Bill, a crucial vote in Sacramento tomorrow. We continue now with Carol Brouillet. As we mentioned, she's a 9/11 truth seeker and has declared herself a candidate for Congress. And you're running against Anna Eshoo on the San Francisco Peninsula. Is that correct?
Correct.
And yes. How's it going?
Well, Anna has been supporting the official myth, and she actually co-sponsored the Intelligence Transformation Act to expand our CIA and create the Office of the National Intelligence Director. And so that's one reason that I'm running against her. Also, one of the planks of my platform is simply to impeach Bush. Mm-hmm. And this is something that Anna will not do. She will not lift a finger in that direction. So that's one reason that I'm challenging her.
Yeah, I was really disappointed to hear Leader Pelosi disclaim any interest in impeachment. I can understand that strategically she might not want to make it the centerpiece of at least the Democrats' message of taking back the House. But it disappoints me to see them kind of close that door because, you know, it's an uphill struggle. But what Russ Feingold clearly showed in the censure resolution is two things, that the president clearly has violated the law on that single issue of the NSA warrantless eavesdropping, and that he's got a bunch of cowards for colleagues in the Democratic side of the Senate.
Yeah, I think the tragedy is Nancy Pelosi, her daughter, is very buddy-buddy with Bush. And we have Congress protecting this whole bogus war on terrorism. They don't really want to challenge it profoundly because they're benefiting by it. If you look at how much support they gave Bush for the war, even if they mouth, you know, opposition, it's only on the surface. When it comes to passing the bills, he's getting basically everything that he wants. There's no solid opposition, which is one reason that I'm running. I think the Democrats and the Republicans are sort of up to their eyeballs in 9/11, mm-hmm. especially this whole bipartisan 9/11 commission, which the Democrats want to do the war on terrorism even better than the Republicans. And I'm not sold on the war on terrorism. I think it's a war of terrorism against the American people and against the world. I think Homeland Security is more of a threat to our liberties and freedoms than protecting them. I think Al-Qaeda is, especially at the higher echelons, are actually being protected by the United States, which is why they won't allow any of them to testify, because they've been paying them, you know, mm-hmm. they're CIA assets more than the caricatures we're led to believe on, like it, when they show those United 93 flicks, they paint Muhammad Atta as the pious...
Yeah, they don't show him going to strip clubs, right?
No, they don't. And same with the other guys. Mm-hmm. And you look at how many of these guys actually got trained on military bases. Mm-hmm. And then also, then there's the question of, were these patsies, the designated patsies, actually even on the airplanes? Because
right.
you have several
we have a lot of
saying,
identity
hey,
problems with the people they told us are on the planes.
Right.
Carol, in general, I agree with you. I will take exception to one thing. I know Alexandra Pelosi... And I have seen both of the documentaries that she did. And I agree that the Journeys with George was a kind of warm and fuzzy picture. But in it, there were a lot of, you know, implied criticisms. And we saw a lot of the weirdness of George W. Bush. So
I don't think she was a good friend of George Bush? She was more of a critical journalist in her work?
I think she was trying. And I think that her second book and film about the primaries, the Democratic primaries in 2004, were interesting as well. I think it's important to separate her from her mom, because they do have different viewpoints. And Nancy Pelosi, I think, is fair game for criticism on any public position she takes. I think that Alexandra Pelosi created a couple of interesting documentaries there, and I don't think she's really cozy with Bush. It was... you know, she had to ride on the plane with him for months.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's take a call. Dave's on the line and holding patiently, I hope. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, thank you for the special exemption there, Peter. And, Carol, I love what you're doing. Something very big has been handed to you and your cause today. The government publicly released videos, which they claim will be the proof that an airplane struck the Pentagon. And of the thousands of films that they impounded, they, I'm sure, released the one they thought would be least damaging. If you look at it, you will find it in frame 127, a smart bomb is coming into view. 128, it's impacted the Pentagon. It's probably a bunker buster. Now, if that's the best proof that the government has that an airplane hit, you got a big, big news story. I don't suppose they'll get much coverage, but I'd be telling this story to the press everywhere.
Well, let's hope that the press looks at those photos and challenges them. I think that's the big question. It's like the Bin Laden video. If they are passing it off as what the government says it is, then we're in trouble. But if they look at it critically, then there is a huge story. But they look at you know, Henry Kissinger and the 9/11 Commission report. I don't think they talked about them critically, especially Zelikow. Nobody ever really cast Zelikow in a harsh light. They took him at face value and never really exposed the 9/11 Commission.
Yeah, and the corporate media has never really gone to even, you know, one-tenth of the lengths that David Ray Griffin did to provide an honest critique of the work of the 9/11 Commission. It's all just taken at face value, and I went and actually attended some of the hearings, and I was stunned at how they permitted Rumsfeld and Rice and Powell to offer you know, very limited and evasive answers with very little follow-up. And maybe they were more aggressive in the closed sessions, but in the public sessions, it was just kind of a wonk ping-pong fest where they talked about, you know, policies and departments and headcounts, but never said, hey, what the F happened on 9/11? Where was NORAD? Why did they stand down? Why were the Pentagon anti-aircraft batteries silent? Why did the jets that got scrambled come from ridiculous locations, and on and on?
But look at the parameters, what they were supposed to do. They did exactly what the mandate was.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't there to find the truth. They weren't there to cast, you know, the shade of doubt or blame on anybody.
Yeah.
So they did exactly what they were meant to do, and which was basically to cover up and to sell the story and to be the cheerleaders for Homeland Security and all the measures that they'd like to take to increasing our police state.
Thanks for the call, and I want to mention again, June 2nd to 4th. The 9/11 Revealing the Truth, Reclaiming Our Future. It's a Education and Strategy Conference in Chicago. It's near O'Hare Airport, so if you can get a flight in and out cheaply, it might be a great event for you to attend. Peter Phillips, the director of Project Censored, is one of the speakers, as well as Professor Stephen Jones from BYU. He's the physics guy who has done definitive work on the implosion of the buildings in New York. And lots of other great folks are participating. Carol, I want to thank you for joining us today, and thanks for running for Congress to try to raise these issues.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for your outstanding journalism, too. I'm so glad that you caught the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter on her trying to sell that big lie to Congress.
Well, I have a BS detector, and it works pretty well. Thanks, Carol. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The White House has changed its mind and has now agreed to let the full House and Senate Intelligence Committees examine the domestic eavesdropping program at the NSA. How much of the USA Today story remains true or not isn't known of the NSA collecting domestic phone records to cross-reference against terrorist numbers. Verizon's Bob Veritone today said it wasn't them.
Another error is the claim that data on local calls is being turned over to the NSA and that simple calls across town are being tracked. In fact, phone companies do not even make records of local calls in most cases because the vast majority of customers are not billed per call for local calls. In any event, the claim is just wrong.
USA Today, which did the story, says it has confidence in its coverage, continues to look at it. So the Merrimack River has receded a bit. It and other flooded areas in the Northeast are still way too high.
This is the mother of all storms, we call it. Born and raised in Algonquin. And I've never seen a storm of this magnitude with the water damage we've had here.
Just ask the people who live there. They tasted fine, but there was something in the muffins in Dallas. 18 high school employees went to a hospital lightheaded, sick to their stomach, after munching the same batch of muffins at the Richardson School District's teacher's lounge. Someone they think may have tampered with the muffins. That's why the FBI has been called in. The NAACP's Julian Bond says they don't like the way Omaha, Nebraska has laid out its schools.
This is in violation of the 1954 Brown decision, which ironically will be 52 years old tomorrow morning.
That decision said separate but equal is wrong and forced schools to integrate.
To come here and attack a proposal that a black man managed to persuade the legislature to enact is what I label the height of hypocrisy and cynicism.
He's the black man, Nebraska State Senator Ernie Chambers, who helped write the law. Omaha schools are to be divvied up into three sections, mostly white, Hispanic, and black. Want to find bad, rude drivers? CBS's Chris Mavridis tells you where to go.
Car Club Auto Vantage asked a bunch of drivers nationwide and found
worst is Miami, followed by Phoenix.
And New York. It was third, but hop in a cab.
Let's go to Broadway in 72nd.
And talk to the guy behind the wheel.
It's very, very difficult to drive in New York.
He says it's the worst, and he's driven everywhere. That survey found all sorts of road rage factors like speeding and tailgating and honking that horn. If you're not into all that, there's one city you should be cruising to.
A most pleasant ride would be Minneapolis.
Followed by Nashville and St. Louis. Chris Mavridis, CBS News, New York.
A great voice has been silenced. Johnny Wilder Jr., lead singer of Heat Wave, is dead. Age of only 56, his family says he died in his sleep at home. On Wall Street, the Dow was off nearly 9 points. The Nasdaq lost 9, too. This is CBS News.
Hey, I'm Tom, and today's my ninth day with Prilosec OTC. Because of frequent heartburn, I couldn't even enjoy my kids' games. But with Prilosec OTC, that's all changed. Now, when my daughter's soccer team takes on the Wolverines, I'm there yelling. She really hates that. Imagine, zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. It's day 9 for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And there's only one way to stop them.
With Barracuda Network's spam, spyware, and IM firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
There's still hope of avoiding penalties for seniors who couldn't, didn't decide which Medicare prescription plan to choose.
The administration repeatedly refused to delay the deadline, but may end up going along with waiving the penalties. The proposal is backed by a powerful bipartisan group in the Senate who say it's just not fair to penalize seniors who waited too long to sign up for a new and at times confusing program. Those who missed the deadline can't sign up for coverage until November 15th in any case, but unless the law is changed, they would pay higher premiums than the early deciders.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss. Woman in DeKalb, Texas has lived through 23 presidents. Oberyn Coffin. Yes, Coffin is her name, is 123 years of age, born in 1883. The nursing home says she's a double amputee, blind and can't talk, but for 123, she's in excellent condition. 1883, by the way, an interesting year. Orient Express made its first run that year. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health. More specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Well, now that you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the left coast, and we're oozing eastward. Now on in Sacramento and Phoenix, Arizona. And this is the hour where we set aside lots of time for your phone calls in the free speech zone. We'll be going there shortly. So if you have a comment about any issue in the news from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice, get on the line now. Central Coast lines are open at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call us toll-free. That number is 888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. And every week we get a visit from Melanie Sloan. She's the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Her workload continues to grow. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
How are you doing today?
So much corruption, so little time.
And the targets and suspects just keep arriving and popping up.
Right. Somebody in your neck of the woods, Jerry Lewis, finally in a lot of trouble that he richly deserves.
And, of course, this is not Jerry Lewis the comedian. This is the Republican congressman from Southern California who chairs the very powerful Appropriations Committee.
That's right. One of the most powerful members of Congress. And we've talked about Jerry Lewis before because Crewe filed a complaint with the Department of Justice against Mr. Lewis back in January. He is very close to a lobbyist named Bill Lowry.
Right.
And Lowry, as I think I've also mentioned before, was a congressman who lost his seat to Duke Cunningham in, of all things, an ethics scandal.
What did Lowry
What did Lowry get popped for? I don't recall that.
You know, I don't remember the details, but it was an unethic. It was an ethics matter.
Wow.
So anyway, he becomes a lobbyist, which is, you know, what former congressmen tend to become, and he maintains a very close relationship with Jerry Lewis, and pretty soon he is funding over a third of the costs of Jerry Lewis campaigns, and in return, all of Bill Lowry's clients get their earmarks. So Lowry and his clients provide the campaign contributions, and Jerry Lewis provides the earmarks. And it's such a problem that even if you are from Jerry Lewis's district, which is apparently Redlands, California, you have to hire Bill Lowry as your lobbyist to get your earmark, which you would think the one benefit of having your own member of Congress be chairman of appropriations was that you wouldn't have to hire a lobbyist, but no.
Wow. So do we have any sense of the return on investment, how much money Lowry and his colleagues contributed to these campaigns for Lewis and how much they got out of the earmark process in return?
Oh, well, they got hundreds of millions.
Wow.
I mean, literally just, it's, you know, chairman of appropriations, there is just never an end to the amount of money that they have to give around. And he has accepted, and I don't have the exact figures in front of me, and I'll have them for you next time, but great amounts of money from Lowry. And finally, the U.S. Attorney's Office for Los Angeles is looking into this matter and has issued subpoenas.
Mm-hmm.
I should also say that it turns out Lewis is implicated in the Brent Wilkes matter. Now, Brent Wilkes is a former defense contractor who was named in the Duke Cunningham matter. He he and Mitchell Wade were two defense contractors who were bribing Duke Cunningham, and Mitchell Wade has already pleaded guilty and is cooperating right now. Cunningham pleaded guilty and is no longer cooperating because he's already been sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
But Brent Wilkes is so far refusing to cooperate. But investigators in Washington have been looking into whether Brent Wilkes was providing prostitutes to members of Congress during poker games at the Watergate. And these weren't just run-of-the-mill poker games. These were poker games at which defense contractors were losing tens of thousands of dollars to members of Congress. It also turns out that somebody from the CIA, a guy
Dusty
with a name,
Fogo.
Dusty Fogo, it should be a name in like a Charles Dickens novel, it was the number three at the CIA, has also been implicated in this matter, an old friend of Brent Wilkes, and the FBI searched his house last week. So, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that the Justice Department is looking into all this, people might say, oh, you just have this conspiracy theory, but here we have the Department of Justice investigating Jerry Lewis, investigating Brent Wilkes, investigating Dusty Fogo, and you know that I think there's still a lot more to come out here.
And Brent Wilkes' status, he at this point is still an unindicted co-conspirator, am I right?
That's right, he is. He's so far refusing to play ball, and we can expect to see him get indicted. I think this summer he has been named by both Mitchell Wade and Duke Cunningham as involved. And another interesting twist is that here in Washington, the search is finally broadening into who else might have been bribing Duke Cunningham. Department of Justice investigators have now sought the records for the Appropriations Committee's appropriations, who they gave money to and who they earmarked money to for many years previously to find out who Duke Cunningham was involved with. And there are now members of Congress who are balking at these requests, saying that the Department of Justice is overstepping because, God forbid, the Justice Department wants to get to the bottom of the corruption in Congress.
Yeah, and, of course, if they expose the underbelly of earmarks, there are a lot of people, both Democrat and Republicans, who will have fingerprints on some of those files. Now, Melanie, can the House refuse these document requests? Because I'm not clear on their immunity from a federal prosecutor.
You know, that will be a very interesting legal argument. There is something called the Speech and Debate Clause, which is a section of the Constitution, which says that any kind of legislative activity is protected by the Constitution and can't be used against members of Congress. It would be unusual for members of Congress to refuse to turn over documents based on the Speech and Debate Clause, but it is possible, and there is some people are making a separation of powers argument that the Department of Justice is overstepping its bounds to go looking into all of Congress's files, and we could see some interesting legal battles coming up.
And now that the Dukester has clammed up, he is refusing to cooperate further with prosecutors. Do you think that an error was made there in sentencing him so quickly, and that if they had let him dangle for a while, that they might have been able to get more cooperation out of him? After all, they did cut a deal with him to exclude his wife, didn't they?
You know, I think they made a huge mistake, and I have thought so for months. It is, you know, they went through that case so quickly. They seemed to be in such a hurry. And you could contrast that, for example, with the case of Bob Ney, where everybody's wondering why in the world has Bob Ney not been indicted yet. He's been out there for a year and a half, this congressman from Ohio, who's now been named in five separate plea agreements. But from the time we first learned of Duke Cunningham selling his house to Mitchell Wade for several hundred thousand more than it was worth, which was last June, and he was pled guilty in November. So very little time passed. And prosecutors failed to do what I think they needed to do at the time, and I'm a former prosecutor. They didn't go through all those appropriation records then, and that's what they should have been doing. But the thing is, now Duke Cunningham has already pleaded guilty, and he's been sentenced. And what usually happens is you put off the sentencing while somebody's cooperating, because then you have this both carrot and stick to hang over somebody. What the defendant wants is for the prosecutor to come in and tell the judge, well, he's been very cooperative, he's helped us this much in our investigation, and so you should give him this much less of a sentence because of his cooperation. Well, now Duke Cunningham has been sentenced. There is nothing that prosecutors have to hang over his head to force him to cooperate. They can't say, well, we won't say you cooperated, we'll ask for a higher sentence if you don't give us this information. Duke Cunningham may at this point be holding out for the possibility of a reduction in sentence in order to cooperate, which would be terrible for prosecutors, and I think they would have a hard time explaining that, given that Cunningham really got a fairly light sentence given his conduct in the first place.
Yeah, this is amazing. Melanie Sloan with us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. You can get more information at their website, citizensforethics.org, citizensforethics.org. Two new names on the Wall of Shame this week, James Sensenbrenner. He is the powerful Wisconsin Republican who chairs the Judiciary Committee in the House, and you have referred a complaint to Justice regarding Sensenbrenner. Tell us about it.
That's right. Mr. Sensenbrenner asked to have a trip to go to Europe. I guess these, you know, trips are very popular with members of Congress, and he asked this foundation to spend $11,000 to take him and his wife on a trip to Europe. This was a trip that had the foundation scheduled scheduled every year, but because of the ethics scandal surrounding Jack Abramoff, they'd canceled it this year. But then there was a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that's Mr. Sensenbrenner's hometown paper, article saying that although the trip was canceled, the trip's organizers agreed to send just Mr. Sensenbrenner on it when he asked. And that is a complete violation of the law. Members of Congress are not allowed to ask people to send them on fancy trips, on any trips. And, you know, it's particularly ironic because Mr. Sensenbrenner is one of the richest members of Congress. He's an heir to the Kimberly Clark fortune. Yet he and his wife need to travel on the foundations at $11,000 for a week's trip to Europe.
Yeah. Next, we'll hear that he wants taxpayers to pay to close Disneyland so he can go by himself. Finally, Rick Santorum, two former staffers of Santorum's have been mentioned in a complaint that CREW has filed with the Federal Election Commission. Give us a brief on that.
That's right. That's a little bit more of a complicated situation, but these two former staffers used to work for Santorum in his Pittsburgh office doing business outreach, then opened up their own lobby shop, amazingly, in the same building that houses Mr. Santorum's Pittsburgh office, and suddenly they were bringing in over $35 million in earmarks for clients who had not previously received earmarks, and in the course of this, one of the things they were doing was they were putting money together in a political action committee, and there is a limit on how much money you can put in political action committees, which is $5,000 at a time. And they put in, one of them put in $14,000, one of them put in $11,000, so those are what we call illegal excessive contributions. They were also telling clients that they should put money into the PAC that they would then funnel over to Mr. Santorum, and that too is a violation of campaign finance law. So we have a list of about eight different counts of violations of campaign finance law that these two gentlemen were involved in.
And as staffers to the senator, they should have known about this stuff, right?
Sure, although I think they're trying to argue now, well, they didn't understand the law. But, you know, it's just like, you know, you and I can't say, well, you know, I didn't really understand tax law, so I didn't file my tax returns.
Right. Yeah. Melanie, keep up the good work. You're very busy. I'm glad you're there.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Free Speech Zone opens up next. Grab a line and let's talk about the issues you care about. 888-579-2540 or on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic, 521 now, and here's Amy Knight.
Better news for Prunedale is really our accidents. Northbound 101 near Crazy Horse Canyon Road and south 101 near Echo Valley Road have all been cleared out. Traffic still slow in the area. New problems in Aromas, south 101 after San Juan Road, an accident off to the shoulder, three cars involved, and in Aptos, northbound 1 before Soquel Drive, the left lane partially blocked by a three-car collision. This report brought to you by Sleep Train. Now you'll sleep free for a year at Sleep Train. On approved, there's no down payment, no monthly payment, and no interest for 12 full months. Sleep Train is your ticket to a better night's sleep. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. And Casey has your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone now. Your calls and comments welcome on any subject, from any point of view, from anywhere you happen to be listening. Lines are open for you toll-free, 888-579-2540, or on the Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. And we have covered so much ground today. We talked about immigration and globalization with Antonio Yuhas in our first hour. Powerful conversations with Carl Mayer, the attorney who's going to sue the phone companies for disclosing our phone call records to the NSA. Carol Brouillet, the 9/11 truth seeker who's running for Congress. And you just heard the corruption update from Melanie Sloan in Washington. And if any of that strikes you and you want to talk about it, pick up the phone now. If there's some other subject you care about, pick up the phone right now. My lines are wide open, and we've got the rest of this hour for you and me to talk about these issues. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. Now, a couple of interesting elements related to the NSA surveillance programs. There's a lot of confusion today because phone companies have come out with denials that they did, in fact, comply with the request and sign these contracts with the NSA to turn over our records. But as Attorney Meyer pointed out, these are non-denial denials, and they leave us with very little information. And Matt, if you could set up the Tony Snow clip, I'd like to play a part of that for our listeners. Tony Snow held his first session with reporters today at the White House, and good old Helen Thomas gave him Helen. And when we get it up, we'll play it for you. But it was really interesting to hear him say that, well, we make no comment on the USA Today story last week. And then he proceeded to cite the USA Today story from last week. And the president has made some comments on it, but they're carefully structured and nuanced. And while he claims, I made a note of one of the things he said here. It's on the wrong piece of paper. Here it is. He said, we do not listen to domestic phone calls without a warrant. And he's trying to issue that kind of a denial to suggest to us that they're not doing anything nefarious with these phone records. And I believe that this confusion is intentional. This is what they want to do to us. So let's listen to at least part of this clip with Tony Snow. And you'll see his attempted effort to deflect the questions. And then, if we have time, we'll hear him use an ethnic slur, which is probably going to come back to bite him. Go ahead, Matt.
That now invite both parties and both houses of Congress to roll up their sleeves and get working to try to get something done.
The president today denied he'd ever broken the law in terms of wiretaps. He also indicated that anything that was looked into, any calls, had some sort of foreign aspect, either to or from. And he says he's always obeyed the law. Are all of these stories untrue that we've been reading for the last several days? Well, millions of Americans have been wiretapped? Turned over to the government.
Okay, let's try to segregate the stories here. What he said about the terror surveillance program is that these are foreign to domestic calls, and they were all done within the parameters of the law. He has not commented on
obey that law.
No, he didn't. What he said is that he has done everything within the confines of the law. The second thing is you're mentioning the USA Today story, about which this administration has no comment. But I would direct you back to the USA Today story itself, and if you analyze what that story said, what did it say? It said, there is no wiretapping of individual calls. There is no personal information that is being relayed. There's no name. There is no address. There is no consequence of the calls. There's no description of who the party on the other end is.
Privacy was breached by turning over their phone numbers.
Well, again, you were jumping to conclusions about a program, the existence of which we will neither confirm nor deny. What's interesting is there seems to be a notion that because the president has talked a little bit about one surveillance program and one matter of our intelligence gathering, that somehow we have to tell the entire world, we have to make intelligence gathering transparent. Let me remind you, it's a war on terror. And there are people, I guarantee you, Al-Qaeda does not believe, the president is not talking about breaking the law, but Al-Qaeda doesn't believe in transparency. What Al-Qaeda believes in is mayhem, and the president has a constitutional obligation and a heartfelt determination to make sure we fight it. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And he believes in obeying it. Martha.
repeat the same thing, but why not declassify this? I mean, the president did talk about the surveillance program a day after the New York Times broke that story. This would seem to affect far more people. And it did sound like the president was confirming that story today. He was answering Terry's question.
Well, if you go back and you look through what he said, there was a reference to foreign to domestic calls. I am not going to stand up here and presume to declassify any kind of program. That is a decision the president has to make. I can't confirm or deny it. The president was not confirming or denying. Again, I would take you back to the USA Today story, simply to give you a little context.
Which
look at
we
the poll
neither
that appeared the following
deny.
Day. While there was part of it said 51% of the American people opposed. If you look at when people said, if there is a roster of phone numbers, do you feel comfortable with that? I'm paraphrasing, and I apologize, but something like 64% of the public was not troubled by it. Having said that, I don't want to hug the tar baby of
Ooh.
Trying to comment on the program.
Great choice of phrase
the
there,
existence
Tony
of
Snow, on your
the
first
alleged
day on the job as you do backflips and pretzel positions to try to defend this administration. I want to hear from you. 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. The Tasty Planet Radio Show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. This is how we do it. 33 minutes past the hour. We're in the free speech zone, and your call may be monitored by the National Security Agency, but all your calls are monitored. So what do you got to lose? Call me now. Tell me what's on your mind. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA after our flagship station. You can also call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And up next, we've got Eugenia in Prunedale. Welcome to the program today, Eugenia.
Hi. This is going to take some guts to say.
Okay.
You know, I called the other day about the carriers going into the Persian Gulf and being sitting ducks.
Right.
And since they have these big missiles that can blow them out of the water. And
now, wait a minute. Who has them? The Iranians?
Yeah, they purchased them from Russia.
They have some missiles, yes.
Oh, okay, but they're bad enough to blow those ships out of the water.
I think you're right.
Okay, and Rumsfeld put the military on notice that they might strike in 2 weeks, okay, as soon as 2 weeks. I figure as soon as those ships get lined up and they get all their ducks in place. And I got to thinking, why would they would do that? You know, all down through the last few years, we hear a little bit about increasing our nuclear power. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the thing that's really hard to think about is Bush, I've known for or felt for a while that Bush, this group, wanted to control the world trade.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess who controls the nuclear arsenal of the United States, okay?
Well, the administration does.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And if they want to control the world trade, and they've got the American people supporting Bush, and if our ships were struck, that would give Bush the opportunity to use to nuke Iran. When Iran is nuked, the whole world knows, we're subject to that too.
Mm-hmm.
And everything will just fall in place. Except
so, Eugenia, are you suggesting here that this is in sync with the Project for a New American Century, which argued that these massive changes proposed for the Middle East and the projection of U.S. power around the world would not be popular enough unless they created a new Pearl Harbor.
Absolutely.
And so, just a second, there are people who argue that that's what 9/11 represented.
No.
And when you hear Bush in tone almost every other minute, 9/11 changed everything, and 9/11 permits us to violate the law and spy on Americans, yada, 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 then it's not so far-fetched to suggest that we might mass our ships, as you pointed out, in the cul-de-sac of the Persian Gulf. You
right.
can get in, and it's very hard to get out.
Right.
And much of that is along the western coastline of Iran.
Right.
That this could create the kind of provocation where Iran attacks us, and then we can say, we've got to do something in retaliation.
Absolutely. Just like what happened when Roosevelt got up and made his speech at starting World War II. I mean, the whole country just jumped up and went to war.
Well, Eugenia, I think you offer, and I understand why you said what you did when you got on the air. It is hard to say these things, but I'm glad you're thinking, and I'm glad you're willing to share your thinking, and I want to hear if other listeners share your line of thought.
Hey, nothing else matters if this is what's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the highest priority.
All right, Eugenia, thanks. Let's see what other people have to say, and I do want to hear from you on this. Call me right now, Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Or toll-free from anywhere, 888-579-2540. And I'm not dismissing what Eugenia said. There are other indications that have surfaced recently that the timeline that we had heard that could be triggered as soon as the middle of June doesn't appear to be active. But the transfer of these aircraft carrier groups to the Persian Gulf does appear to be underway. And so we're dealing with limited information, and clearly the highly secretive Bush administration is not telling us much. But it is interesting speculation on Eugenia's part, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. Again, toll-free at 888-579-2540. Joining us now is Eric Tang. He is a representative of the California Clean Money Campaign. Eric, welcome back to the show today.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
Good to talk with you. And AB 583 is the assembly version of the bill. I understand that tomorrow is a critical day because it faces its first vote in California's state Senate.
This is true. Your listeners may or may not know that back in January, our clean money bill, AB 583, did pass out of the full assembly. And this is tomorrow will be its first test in the state Senate. It's before the Senate Elections Committee, and it's going to be a close fight. We had a hearing on the bill in the committee a couple weeks ago. There was a number of concerns that some of the members in the committee had brought up, and we've done our best to address those concerns in the meantime. But it's absolutely critical that this bill not die here. This is a bill that's received an enormous amount of attention from grassroots demand from across the state, and we want to make sure that the members of that committee hear the calls for reform loud and clear, and we also want to make sure that President Pro Tem Don Spada does all that he can to make sure that this bill moves forward and uses his leverage as the leader of the Senate to make sure that his fellow Democrats vote in favor of this bill and move it forward.
Now, Parada says he's in favor of it. Do you believe he's been using all his muscle appropriately here?
The true test will be what happens tomorrow. I mean, he has said that he will do what it takes to get this bill out of committee, but we're not sure that he will. And he knows as well as we do that there are a couple of members of the Senate Elections Committee, Kevin Murray and Gloria Romero, who are looking to him for leadership and looking to him to see what they should do. And he has been at least unwilling, as far as we know, to tell these members that they really should make sure that this bill moves forward.
Well, so Kevin Murray strikes me as kind of an operator who. I wouldn't accuse him of being a good government kind of guy. What about Gloria Romero? I don't know much about her.
She's considered a fairly progressive member of the Senate. Her district is heavily Latina and Asian American down in the San Gabriel Valley here in Los Angeles. She has been known to have some interesting stances, however, but generally progressive, and we're hopeful that she can be turned around. But she's certainly at this point has not expressed support, and it's going to be very interesting tomorrow if we can get her. Like I said, we're asking Californians everywhere to contact President Pro Tem Don Parada, and either fax or call him and urge him to do everything he can to make sure this bill moves out of committee.
Senator Deborah Bowen chairs the Senate Elections Committee. Is she in favor of the clean money bill?
She is in favor, and she's actually a co-author of the bill.
Mm-hmm. I thought so.
And so she's a strong supporter, and we definitely appreciate her support. Mm-hmm. But the other two Democrats aside her are not fervent supporters at this point, and we really think that the way to get to them is certainly to have Parada ask them to move this bill forward. Mm-hmm. And anybody can write a letter or send a fax through our website, which is www.caclean.org.
We're talking with Eric Tang from the California Clean Money Campaign. Again, that website is caclean.org, caclean.org. And, Eric, you're doing something else interesting, and I like it. You're understanding the leverage that comes from threatening the legislature with going around them by using a ballot measure. And I understand that signatures have been presented that qualify a clean money initiative for this November's ballot, and that puts a lot more pressure on the legislators, doesn't it?
That's true. The signatures have been gathered to try to qualify this for the November ballot. It will still take a couple weeks to see whether or not that measure has qualified. But certainly this our bill, AB 583, presents an opportunity for the legislature to step out to the forefront of this issue and show that they are responsive to the public's concern that that money plays too great an influence in both elections and policymaking in Sacramento. So this is an opportunity for them to show that they are responsive to the public and they're willing to be the leaders of the change. And the ballot initiative, unfortunately, would show that they're not willing to be the leaders and they're going to have to be dragged, kicking and screaming. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to see the two-pronged strategy because sometimes that it really makes the difference and gets the legislature to act.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Eric, well, thank you for checking in today. Again, AB 583 is before the Senate Elections Committee tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m. is the hearing in the state capitol, and it's in room 3191, 3191. And if you're able to hie yourself to Sacramento and attend, I'd be much obliged. And if you do make that trip, activist, I hope you'll call into the program and report to us tomorrow. Eric, thanks for your work.
All right, thanks to you, and I hope to see some of your listeners there tomorrow.
Great, we'll talk to you again soon. Coming up next, more of your calls here. It's the Free Speech Zone, and I've got lines available. Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll-free from elsewhere, 1-888-579-2540. I don't think we've ever gotten a call from elsewhere, but it's time. 44 minutes past the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
It's KRXA 540, 547 now here on the PBC show this afternoon. Coming up right after 6 o'clock, the Reverend Barry Lynn presents Culture Shocks. He's the head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and he's got a fine program that airs every evening from 6 to 7 p.m., followed by Lionel in the evening here on KRXA 540. Now to Amy Knight, Metro Traffic.
Looks like the
Lincoln Avenue accident in Gilroy, South 101 before Maston Avenue. Two cars off to the right-hand shoulder. Also, North 101 at Abbott Street in Salinas. The crash off to the side. Watch out for a stall. North 101 at Ralph Lane, the left lane block there. And this train stuck at the crossing, not moving. Espinoza at 183. You crash on the shoulder, South 101 after Dunbarton Road, three cars off to the side. Hurry to Mattress Discounters today and on approved credit, make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're into the home stretch here in the free speech zone. And lines are available if you'd like to talk on the air. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. And we spent some time this afternoon talking about the NSA's surveillance of the American public. The reports that millions of our phone records have been turned over to the NSA and subsequent denials. It is a little confusing. We spoke to attorney Carl Mayer earlier today, and if you would like to be a plaintiff, one of many, joining me, in a lawsuit against these phone companies over these disclosures, you should go to his website at newjerseyuntouchables.blogspot.com. I'll repeat that because it's an unusual web address, and that is newjerseyuntouchables.blogspot.com. Now, there's some interesting wrinkles here about this, and I find it fascinating because Monday, during our Media Matters segment, we disclosed that some of the people at ABC News, including, I believe, Brian Ross, had responded to the disclosures of the phone records story by saying that, by defending the administration and essentially offering their talking points. Well, now it turns out that Brian Ross and others at ABC believe that the FBI is monitoring or at least logging and tracking their phone calls. The FBI has acknowledged that it is increasingly seeking reporters' phone records in leak investigations. And FBI officials did not deny that phone records of ABC News, The New York Times, and The Washington Post had been sought as part of investigations into leaks at the CIA. And this raises a number of very serious issues, and I urge you to go to truthout.org because there is a thread there under the headline FBI acknowledges journalists' phone records are fair game. And the second piece is an essay by John Nichols, our friend from The Nation magazine. And he goes into some detail and repeats the reports of Brian Ross and his colleague Richard Esposito at ABC News. And Nichols goes on to say, if these reports are accurate and these reporters have a solid record of getting things right, it doesn't require much of an imagination to determine what has transpired. And he said that any serious discussion will turn to the question of whether a frustrated Bush-Cheney administration is seeking the phone records of journalists, not merely to identify leakers, but to thwart the sort of whistleblowing that has embarrassed the president and vice president by linking them to warrantless wiretapping, rendition of prisoners, the defense of torture, the distribution of classified information in order to punish political critics and other abuses of power. Now, keep in mind that the administration keeps telling us that they're only monitoring the bad guys. And maybe you agree with Bush that people at the New York Times and ABC News are bad guys. Well, this story is not going to go away. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. Jake in Arcata, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Doing okay.
So I'm calling about the other story that's not going to go away, the other story that Judicial Watch just made into the top story, the missile that hit the Pentagon, that the Pentagon is desperately trying to pretend, was Flight 77. And so they tell us, and I watched NBC Nightly News, and it was pretty pathetic. You know, their Pentagon correspondent's just a tool. Brian Williams is their right-wing moron. You know, these guys clearly are trying their best to go along with the official story, even though, Peter, their photos, they didn't even have video, their still shots clearly did not show a commercial airplane. They still went ahead and, like the ones that were released 3 years ago, said, yeah, oh, that's a commercial plane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one who looks at what they are showing the public tonight who is honest and who is sane would honestly say that that's a commercial airplane that hit the Pentagon. The best part was Jim – I can't say his last name.
Mick Leshefsky.
That's him. He said that the reason you can't see a plane is because it was traveling 500 miles an hour and all you would see is a blur. Of course, I do remember seeing a plane hitting the World Trade Center, the World Trade Tower, and that was moving that fast and it wasn't a blur. We saw that clearly. But the Pentagon, which has its entire grounds covered by video camera surveillance, has no video cameras. All they can do 5 years later is pop out a few more photos that show nothing, that prove that their story, that Flight 77 hit the Pentagon on 9/11, is a big lie, and anybody who's looked at the evidence knows it.
Well, it is another example of the corporate media in indulging in myth-making. And, you know, it's certainly understandable that most Americans buy what they've been told by the administration and amplified by the corporate media. But that does not excuse the reporters who sit back and allow this kind of information to be fed to them and then just take it at face value and don't ask the very same questions that you and I are asking.
That's right.
And this is what my problem is, and we saw it yesterday with the people who attended, the reporters who attended Karl Rove's speech. There's a question and answer period, and only one person came close to asking him about the CIA leak, and nobody just said, hey, Karl, you've been indicted? You're going to be indicted? It's just amazing how they overlook the most obvious questions that you and I can come up with from the comfort of our sofas.
That's right. I mean, the American people obviously should know by now that if you want answers, do not go to the professional Bush administration brown nosers, otherwise known as corporate journalists. Those people are not going to tell you the truth. Look for yourselves. And I suggest that if people want to know what really happened at the Pentagon, there are some great sources, a couple great documentaries that show you, you know, real footage, stuff they don't want you to see, that they've never shown the American public again after 9/11. 9/11 in plain sight, people can find that at thepowerhour.com. And, of course, Loose Change at loosechange911.com. You can see that for free. Just go to the website, you know, watch it. It only takes you about an hour or so. And then decide for yourself what you think. Don't just let the corporate media tell you what you see in those pictures. There is no plane. Anybody who's looking at those pictures with any honest thought in their mind knows that the Pentagon is lying. And why the Pentagon is actually going to try to tell the public that they have no video, that that's all they have. I mean, if a Boeing 757, 144 feet across, hit the side of the Pentagon like they say, why do they only leave a 16-foot hole and no plane wreckage? No plane wreckage, no skid marks, no crater. This was all caught by the major networks on 9/11, NBC, ABC, Fox. They all showed this the morning of 9/11, but never again.
Yeah.
But you can see that in those movies.
Hey, Jake, hold on here. We're going to conference you with Ed from Aptos, who is our friend who often talks to you through the radio and who's a retired airline pilot, and he also took a look at 9/11 in plain sight. Hi, Ed.
Greetings.
Do you have any comment on what Jake just said and on the new footage released today regarding the Pentagon?
I would have to concur from what I've heard. The biggest thing that I saw on 9/11 in plain sight was that most of the fuel is carried in the wings of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And, the fire would have been on the outside of that or spread all along the face of the building. There should have been some damage to the face of the building because the wings don't just fold up and go, you know, into a neat hole like was shown on the...
And they don't vaporize either.
Funny things happen at high speed.
I can understand that, but a 6-ton engine isn't going to vaporize.
It would probably make a hole of its own, really.
Mm-hmm.
Truth be known on that.
Yeah.
But hey, Jake, did you get my email?
Oh no, I haven't. I haven't actually.
Oh, I don't have a correct email address for you. I googled your name on the internet and sent it to somebody.
The wrong Jake Pickering.
Yeah, it's Jake Pickering at somebody. Did you teach at Humboldt?
Oh, sorry. What was that?
Do you teach at Humboldt State?
Oh no, actually, I'm a social worker in Humboldt.
Okay.
Yeah,
we digress. But yeah, the. That's my take on it for the time being.
All right. Well, what I want you to do is I want both of you to hold when we're finished here, and you can trade email addresses off the air so that you guys can take your personal conversations and conduct them in private. Ed, did you want to offer another comment?
Well, I did. The reason I called was this is completely off subject, but a station in Fresno carries the Commonwealth Club meetings, has an hour of it on, you know, the low
right.
seven in the morning on Sunday, so not many people listen to it. But many provocative ideas are put forth in the. This past Sunday was a fellow from, he was a libertarian. I know he's from a libertarian think tank, but he had an interesting proposition, and it sounded pretty good until he said he thought the government stank, and you know the government couldn't find it. So.
All right, well give us the succinct. We got 30 seconds.
Well, I can't. But I just what I was suggesting is maybe KXRA could carry get in touch with the Commonwealth Club and maybe carry that at some convenient time.
Okay, we'll check it out. They do have good speakers there. I agree with you, Jake. Ed, thanks both of you for calling today, and we'll talk again real soon. And I want to thank everybody who joined us on the program today, including our guests, our callers, and my able producer, Matt Renner. We're going to do this again tomorrow, same time, same station. I hope you'll join me then. And Thursday, Ray McGovern is going to talk with us, standing out in front of Donald Rumsfeld's house in Washington.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Haha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Two developments in the NSA domestic surveillance program. The White House says it will cooperate with House and Senate Intelligence Committees for hearings into the NSA program. And two big phone companies, Verizon and Bell South, say they didn't give the government any phone records anyway. And the government didn't ask.
The phone records were reportedly stored in the NSA's Mammoth computer system as analysts there tried to connect the dots between U.S. telephone numbers found on terrorist operatives captured overseas or numbers here that were dialed by suspected terrorists from their overseas locations. The New York Times had earlier reported the existence of an NSA eavesdropping program on international calls without warrants. Any collection of domestic consumer records would suggest the NSA program was far larger than suspected. President Bush today, however, insisted that no domestic calls were ever listened to without a warrant.
CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart. Immigration reform debate continues in the Senate. California Democrat Barbara Boxer does not like the guest worker program.
A huge underclass of workers who will take jobs away from Americans.
Arizona Republican John McCain.
Why do we need a viable guest worker program? So that we can stop the flood of illegals from coming across our borders.
President Bush says America can be both tough and accepting. Closing arguments by the defense in the Enron trial have wrapped up. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick is there.
I'm very confident.
Jeff Skilling left the courthouse first, followed by Ken Lay, both with their attorneys. Lay said he felt good about the message the defense delivered to the jury.
They'd heard a lot of facts and a lot of truth.
Defense attorneys stressed over and over that prosecutors had not shown any proof of conspiracy or fraud, and told the jury if they had any doubts, they must acquit the two former Enron officials. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, Houston.
It would probably be okay with folks in Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts if they didn't hear this noise for a while. Splashing through floodwaters. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney.
No one needs to tell us in the state that we qualify for federal dollars. We know we do. We're going to get every dollar that we are entitled to.
The increased price of money has finally put the brakes a bit on new home starts.
And a very large price gains in a lot of the country. The second